All right, good morning, everybody. We like to start our services the same way Christians have been doing for centuries. The Lord be with you. Thanks. If you're willing and able, will you stand and sing with us this morning? I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. This is when Jesus is in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. It says, "During that time the devil came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread.' But Jesus told him, 'No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us all here today safely to praise your name. We ask that you fill this room with your Holy Spirit. Help us to feel you in this room, feel you in our lives, and direct our path. We ask that you be with Rich as he brings the message this morning, and help us to leave this building changed people at the end of the day. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Take a few minutes and share that peace with each other.
Okay. I wonder if you could take the audio down over, that'd be great. Thanks. Everybody get one of these little welcome bulletins when you came in. I hope so. Let you know what's going on around here these days. And inside there, of course, is that little green welcome card. We always love it when you can fill that out and drop it in the offering box, which is just to the left of the door before you leave. And actually this morning, since we're having breakfast after this service, you're going to walk right past that offering box on your way to get your breakfast and all the rest. So I'm hoping that you came hungry this morning and are ready for some, I think there are some biscuits and some gravy and some eggs, and I'm not sure what else back there. So that'll all be happening after this service. So Stacy told me I have to make sure this morning's message is short, that you guys aren't going to put up with me holding us long when there's food waiting to be eaten. There are some different announcements you can read in there, things you might be interested in knowing more about, like the teens have an opportunity to go see the Railcats play here in a week or so, and some other stuff. But then you've got your notes there for this morning's message. Last week we looked at Psalm 103 and this good God that we worship, who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. And Psalm 34 is another one of my favorites because of a particular line about halfway through that we actually mentioned on Mother's Day. On Mother's Day here, we were talking about how it's a difficult day for some, and there's a line in this psalm that we ended up reading together. But here's, you've got Psalm 34. I'm just going to read this, and we're gonna take off from there, okay? And again, just like I mentioned last week, these psalms are a collection right there in the middle of our Bible that give voice to the cries of the human heart. And, I'll get ahead of myself if I keep going. Let's read Psalm 34 here. It says, "I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken. Calamity will surely destroy the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. But the Lord will redeem those who serve him. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Just a couple things that are interesting about this psalm, one of which we cannot see. It's invisible to us because of translation. If you're reading this in your Bible, there may be a little asterisk or something up at the top, and at the bottom of the page, it says that this psalm is acrostic. Is that the right word? Where each line, each verse starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Have you ever had to do one of those in school where you take a word and then you, I think it happens sometimes about like Mother's Day and stuff. They'll write mother down the page and they'll say something about their mom for each letter, you know, how marvelous mom is and how, what do you say with, oh, good grief, outstanding, there you go. And, you know, so you've seen those kinds of things, right? Well, we can't see that because you have to translate these things, and it's nearly impossible to translate them and, like, make the first line start with A and the second one start with B and the third one start with C because it's a different language, different letters, different words. But this is one of those psalms that it's written that way, I'm guessing, in part so that people could remember it, so that people could carry this with them, so that as they go through life, they could remember, like, oh, what was that psalm that we learned, you know, at church when we were kids or whatever, in Hebrew school, whatever they were calling it back when this was written. Probably parents teaching it to their kids at home is my guess. And they would be like, oh, yeah, A, and they would do the first line, and B, use the second line, C. And they would remember to praise the Lord at all times. They would remember that when I pray to the Lord, he hears and he answers me. They would remember this invitation in verse 8, to taste and see that the Lord is good. That was kind of the theme last week, that the Lord is good, that he's not some wicked God, that he's not some absent God, that he's not some abusive God who's just angry and looking for ways to take his anger out on you. He's not capricious where you never know he's got in a good mood today, he's got in a bad mood today, oh, I better do some stuff to try to keep God in a good mood because I want him to be in a good mood because I got a big test coming up or whatever it might be. That's not the kind of, this is a good God whom we worship. And he's saying, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Now, that very next line, fear the Lord, you his godly people, we talked about a little bit last week, that God is not some God who's like, you know, standing over saying, fear me, you know, like he wants you to be afraid of him or something. That in Scripture, when it says fear the Lord, it means, well, it means a couple of things. One, I mentioned last week, there was a Jewish rabbi from the Middle Ages who said this idea of fear of the Lord is this kind of this sense of human insignificance in light of God's amazing, like, enormity, you know, or something, God's majesty and all that God has done. When I think that God is the one who's created the entire universe, not just the earth, but the whole universe, and that he's the one that continues to maintain all things, including my life. And then I think of me and my limitations and how small and seemingly insignificant I am. He says there's this sense of awe, there's a sense of reverence, there's a sense of, and you could use the word fear. I mean, that's what they were trying to communicate, is this sense of like, oh, I don't compare here. I am not in charge. I thought I was in charge. I thought I could run my own show. And oh, I am aware now that I really can't. Now, many times in Scripture, when it talks about fear of the Lord, they're referring to this idea of obeying him, of saying, okay, you're God, so I'm going to let you call the shots, which means I'm going to listen when you speak. As we just sang, word of God speak. You know, I'm going to pay attention when you're talking, and I'm going to do what you say because you're in charge, and I am not. And so that's where he says, you know, I'll teach you to fear the Lord. When I read that just now, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. I had this image in my head of that parent who maybe isn't the greatest parent in the world, who's saying, I'll show you, you know, you want something to be afraid of? I'll give you something to be afraid of. You know, you want something to cry about? I'll give you something to cry about. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, look, this is a good God. And so, children, young people, listen, I'll teach you how to fear the Lord, how to respect the Lord, how to live your life in a way that honors the God who made us. That's why he follows up with, do you want to live a life that's long and prosperous? Well, then, he basically is saying, avoid evil and do good. You know, don't tell lies. Seek peace. Work for peace. The reason that I was drawn to this psalm, well, I mentioned that on Mother's Day, we quoted one of the verses, and it was verse 18, where it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. And whatever it is that may have crushed your spirit, whatever it is that may have broken your heart, and I understand that sometimes for some of us, what's crushed us has been religious obligations or someone who's on a power trip and is doing that whole, I'll give you something to be afraid of thing. And this psalm is reminding us, and in reminding children even who would be memorizing it by the letters of their alphabet, that the Lord is close to those who are brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. That he is not, God is not here to crush you. God is here to rescue you. God is close to you when your heart is breaking. But the reason I was drawn to it this morning is from verse 8. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Some of us, that's really what we need to do. We need to just to stop for a moment and see, like, is God really this good God that Rich is up front talking about this morning? At some point, you have to make this decision, like, do I think there's something to this? And many of you have already done this. Many of you have come to the place where you've said, yep, I'm on board. Yes, I have tasted. I have seen that the Lord is good. I have reached out to him, and he has answered my prayer. Marvin was just telling me a story this morning about a couple Sundays ago where he prayed and God answered the prayer, like, right then. You know, and that's always amazing when God does that for us. You know, some of you have done this. You have said, okay, God, if I need your help, if you're really there, if you really are close to the brokenhearted, if you really do rescue those whose spirits are crushed, I need you. And you have reached out and you have found God faithful. Sometimes he's answered your prayer right away like that, and it's been a beautiful thing. Other times it's felt like a delay, but you've had this sense of God's presence with you. Well, when I think of the Psalms, I always think of Psalm 23, and I mentioned last week right in the middle of there about the Lord is my shepherd, and I have everything I need, and there's all this beautiful picture of God leading me in these green pastures and everything. And then in the middle of it, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Sometimes we reach out to God. We're like, okay, I want to taste and see. I want to know that you're good, God. And we cry out to him for help, and he doesn't answer our prayers the way we'd like him to, but he's present with us. He is close to us in our brokenheartedness. He is there, and he sustains us, and he strengthens us, and he encourages us. Often, by giving us someone who cares about us, who comes alongside to walk with us through those dark valleys, through that oppression, through that difficulty. Because that's how God works. He works through us. So this morning, the reason I was drawn to this psalm for what we were talking about today is just this idea of taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you ever been someplace where they were handing out samples? Have you ever done that? I know some of you just make that like that's your breakfast or that's your dinner some days. You go to the grocery store and you know when they're doing the sample thing. And you show up and you come around and you're like, oh, yeah, I'll taste that. Thank you. And you do another lap and you come around later and you're like, you know, you turn your hat around or something. Like, oh, yeah, I'll take a sample. Thank you. And yeah, I know there have been times I've sampled something and I thought, oh, that is good. I don't want to buy that, but I want to taste that again. And you know, and I'm, you know, not afraid. I'm like, my wife is on the other aisle. I'm going to take one to her, too. And, you know. What's that? What's that? Oh, you again? No. I usually try to wait till, like, you know, go hit them at the beginning of the grocery visit, and then I hit them at the end, you know. So, anyway, we were just the other day, we were someplace, and there was somebody handing out samples, and I tasted it, and I did not want to go back for a second one of that one, you know, that particular thing. You know, you have these opportunities to taste something and to see, and the reason they do that is because they're saying, if you taste this, you'll want more. If you taste this, you'll say, that's good. What is this again? That's a dip. I could buy that. I could take it. I could get some crackers. And, yo, and it's how much? Oh, thank you. Because they know if you taste it, or at least they're hoping, if you taste this, they're not doing it just because they like to do that, just because the grocery store is like, hey, let's give away some free stuff today. They're doing it because they want you to buy in. They think if you taste this, you will like it. You will want to buy it. And that's what the psalmist is saying. It's like, give God a chance. Just Just taste God's goodness. Just try him. Just reach out to him. Just listen to him and see if God doesn't know what he's talking about, the God who created the world. Maybe try to obey something that God has said and see if life doesn't work out a little better when you're actually living life the way God tells us to, instead of the way that we think might be best. Just taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Just even that second line reminds us that there's an aspect of God where he is providing refuge. He is protecting. He is caring for us. Sometimes we go through life feeling like, I've just got to take care of myself. My time of someone else taking care of me is over. When I was a kid, it was beautiful, and you know, I had parents who were watching over me, and sometimes we wish, oh, I wish I could go back to those days. I didn't have a care in the world. Someone else took care of all the shopping that we were just talking about. Someone else made sure I was fed and clothed and you know, had health care and all those kinds of things. And now I have to worry about all that stuff. And sometimes we wish like there was someone we could go to who would provide that place of refuge. Someone when we're brokenhearted or crushed. Some place of refuge. And he's saying God can be that for us if we'll trust him. So I encourage you to taste and see that the Lord is, in fact, good. If you're on that beginning place where you're like, I'm not sure about this, give him a try. Give it a shot. We're going to reach out to him and see. Is the Lord really good or isn't he? Now, for those of you who you did that a long time ago, you tasted it, you wanted it, you bought the product, you said, yes, God, I'm yours, I accept this whole shebang. I believe you're God and I'm not. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow you. If you've been doing that for a while, guess what? You get to hand out samples now. You're the one who people are tasting and seeing as they look at you. People are tasting you. That sounds wrong, like people are licking you or something. But people, as you go through life, people are seeing in your life, like, is there something to this or isn't there? And they're watching and they're seeing like, oh, that person... Yeah, they do. I know they go to church. They mention something their pastor said a few weeks ago, or I see them with their Bible, or they put a sticker on their car, or whatever it might be. And you know what? There is something different about them. They do seem more confident in the midst of difficulty. They do find a way to pursue peace in the midst of a really turbulent, you know, workplace or classroom or whatever it might be. They do show kindness pretty consistently. And I know they have bad days, and I see them have bad days, but you know what? They never explode like other people do. They seem to have a way to handle that frustration and those bad days that kind of seems healthy. You know, people are watching, and we have an opportunity then to let the good work that God is doing in us, you know, influence the people around us. Jesus at one point, I think it was at Matthew chapter 5, where he calls us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. It says people are seeing. We're here to give light. We're here to provide some flavor. You know, people are watching, and in us they get to see if this God really is good, if this God really can change a human life. But I was going to do the whole message on that, just the taste and see, and let's get started then. And then Stacy and I were at the park a couple days ago, and we saw that we were just over here across the street at Old Fairgrounds Park. And, you know, they have a little playground area that I'd never been there with the kids. And so we took the kids. There's a couple slides they can go down, and most of it's too big for them. You know, we walked past all that life trail stuff and all the exercise things that are out there on the trail, and they banged on stuff and whatnot. But they're little. They can't do any of that stuff yet. But what they did like doing was running down the hill because, you know, there's the track that goes around, and then there's the hill that goes down to all the ball fields, you know, down at the middle of the park. And if you go down that hill, you'll see I took some pictures. Can you put some of those up there? So there's one of them, and both of them. Do you notice anything about the grass there? Do you see that stripe running through? I don't know if you guys have been down there to see that. You can go ahead and just flip through whatever pictures. There's nothing. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we like them. So they are 17 months old. In 2 days, they'll be 17 months old. So all the way around, there's a stripe of brown grass that is at the bottom of the hill and kind of going around the ball field. You're in the outfield area. There's one. Stacy was walking with one of them down there in the playground equipment, and there's this stripe of brown grass that it looks like it just makes a ring around the ball things. And apparently, You can't really see it. I didn't get close to take a picture, but there are some like drains out there because, you know, they don't want the whole thing filling up with water and being a lake. So there are some drains, and apparently there's a pipe because there'd be like a drain and then this big brown line and another drain and then a big brown line to another drain. And I'm guessing that that drain just is a little bit too close to the surface or something, that the pipe underneath there and the gravel that's around it, there must not be enough dirt there for the grass to really get good roots or for the ground to hold enough water. And that made me realize that, or it reminded me that sometimes we taste and see that the Lord is good and we kind of stop there. And all we ever get is little samples of God's goodness. And we don't let our roots grow on down. We don't kind of commit to a life of trusting and following this good God. And it reminded me of this story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 13, which is on the back of your notes there. Jesus tells a story, as he told lots of stories. He says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And a little bit later, the disciples come to him and sheepishly acknowledge, okay, we were listening, but we didn't quite understand. Can you explain what you were talking about there? Yeah, great, farmer, seeds, what's that got to do with me? I'm trying to trust you, Jesus, I'm trying to do what you say. Do you want me to go throw seeds? What are you talking about? So he explains. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. He's saying so the idea here is someone is throwing out seed, and that seed is the word, is the message about the kingdom, about God's rule and reign, about God's love. It's the good news that Jesus is going to proclaim, the good news of God's kingdom coming. So that seed, some of it, he says, falls on hearts that don't receive it. Like they're like hard ground. They're like a footpath that's been worn through the field, and you know, it's just packed down dirt, and the seed just sits there on the top and it can't get through, and so the birds just come and eat it. He says this is like someone who hears this message and they don't understand it. It doesn't sink in, it doesn't make sense, so they don't accept it, and the evil one comes and snatches it away, and it doesn't do anything. It doesn't impact their life in any way. If you are here today, that is probably not you. All right? Because you have heard this message. Maybe it has been you. Maybe at some point your heart was hard to the message of God's love. Maybe it was just bouncing off. But I'm guessing if you're here today, then something has been breaking up that hard soil. Something has been breaking up that hard ground. And you're here because that message is starting to sink in, or at least you're starting to feel a need. Maybe the circumstances of life have broken you in some way. And it doesn't take a lot. I mean, all it needs is like a crack in that ground for the seed to find its way in. And it's kind of like, have you ever been like seen a sidewalk? Maybe at your house, we've got this concrete patio in the back. I didn't take a picture of this. Concrete patio in the back of our house. And I just this week was pulling out weeds that were growing in a crack, you know, because there's just a little crack there, but some seeds got in there and something grew. So sometimes life breaks us in some way and breaks through the hardness of our hearts. And there's a chance for this good news that maybe there is a God who loves us, and we begin to taste and see that the Lord is good, and something begins to grow. But Jesus says, the seed on the rocky soil represents those. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. Hey, there's a God who loves me? Woohoo! That's awesome! He wants to forgive my sins? That is great! Cool, because I've got sins. They need forgiven. Okay. God wants to forgive me, not condemn me. Oh, this is great news. They receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. This is the picture of the grass. The sun came out, and there's a nice brown stripe because it couldn't go down deep enough, or there's not enough soil there, that the roots are hitting rock or a pipe or something, and there's enough moisture there for it to live for a while, but then life gets hard, problems come, and the grass doesn't have deep enough roots. This is the danger of tasting and seeing and just kind of sampling God's goodness. You need to let the word of God, the message of God, the things God is saying to you, you need to let it sink down into your heart and into your life. You need to give it time to work its way in there. You need to pay attention to what God is saying. And if a little seed has gotten into a crack in that hard soil, you need to water that thing. Don't let that thing get plucked out. You need to make sure that there are roots that are growing down deep. Now, how do you let those roots grow? I mean, what do you do? If this life with God is a relationship with God and He is speaking to us and we're trying to let His word and His message like sink down into our hearts and into our lives, I'm thinking, well, I know in my life, I spend time with God. You know, I show up at church on a Sunday, for example. That's a good start. And you listen to somebody talk about God's word and about God's goodness, and you're like, okay, you think about it. And you try not to just let that wander right back out of your mind as soon as you eat the breakfast afterwards or whatever. You try to let that sink in. Try to let that shape the way you think, the way you approach your week. You try to imagine yourself like, okay, so Monday, what am I going to do with this? And Tuesday, this week, how am I going to live different if this is true? Maybe you spend some time reading the Bible during the week, or you find you can use the Bible app or other things to listen to the Bible as you make your way through your week. You can pop the headphones in when you're running at the Y or wherever you're going, and you could be listening to the Bible, or you could be listening to some other pastor talk about the Bible. You could be listening to something encouraging, something good. You could tune your radio to the Christian station, and there's some of them have preaching all day long, some of them have Christian music all day long with uplifting messages that are quoting from Scripture. You could just spend some quiet time with God in the morning or in the evening. Instead of just falling asleep playing the game and letting your phone hit you in the face, you could fall asleep perhaps talking to the God who loves you, who is there with you, who's going to be with you all night long. Let those roots grow on down so that when difficulty comes, you've got some life to draw from. You've got something there to sustain you. I was thinking of, last week as we were talking through Psalm 103 and this psalm as well, Psalm 34, these are largely positive. You know, even though we go through difficulty and I think, what did he say near the end there about the righteous person in verse 19, the righteous person faces many troubles. And we do face troubles. Whether you're good or bad, you're going to face troubles. But the Lord comes to the rescue each time, he says. How do I sustain faith during those troubles? How do I trust, keep on looking to God for help during those troubles and not just give up on it? Well, it's because you've spent some time. You've allowed those roots to grow down deep. You've said, okay, God, I've tasted. I've seen that you're good. And so now I'm going to listen to you. Now I'm going to let your message sink in. Now I'm going to actually let your word impact my heart and life. And I'm gonna begin to follow you. I'm going to begin to obey you. I'm going to begin to trust you. Well, he continues, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. And I'm sure we've all seen this too in our yards, right? That you're trying to grow something and some weeds get in there and the weeds are like stronger than the thing you actually want. It seems like that's how it usually works. And the weeds end up sucking up all the moisture and all the sunlight, and pretty soon you've got a weed patch and not a flower bed or not a, you know, instead of growing peppers or lettuce or tomatoes or whatever, you're just growing weeds, you know, not real helpful. Not what you wanted, probably. I think that happens in our lives. We get, the word of God gets crowded out. And we want to trust God, but our lives are so full. There are so many, the worries of life, the cares of life, the lure of wealth. They mentioned that specifically because that's a challenge for us. And that so often we have to decide, God, am I going to trust you or do I want more money for me? Or this is a story that gets told in Matthew's gospel, Mark's gospel, and in Luke. They all three record Jesus saying this. And I think it's Luke's gospel that he also mentions the pleasures of this life. the pleasures of this world, the all kinds of things that can crowd out God. And instead of paying attention to God, we pay attention to the TV. And instead of paying attention to God, we get all worked up and worried about the national and international news. And instead of listening to God and trusting God, we get consumed by that next thing we're going to buy, that next purchase we're going to make, or that next high we can hit, or whatever it might be. And we let God be crowded out of our lives. Sometimes by good stuff, but it's not pulling us any closer to God, and it's distracting us, and we miss out. But he says, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or 100 times as much as have been planted. He says, there's like this multiplication thing that happens, that you hear something good from God and you let it work in your life, and that produces fruit. Is it in Galatians chapter 5 that it says the fruit that the Spirit grows in us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? That this fruit that the Holy Spirit grows in our lives as we allow the message of God's goodness to take root and to change us. So four kinds of soil, and I just put in notes, which one are you? Is your heart hard? Is your mind closed? Are you letting the Word of God impact you, or is it just bouncing off? Have you been shallow, just kind of tasting and seeing and stopping there? Or are you letting God's Word sink down and grow roots? Are you thorny soil where the Word of God is getting crowded out by so much else? Or have you cultivated some space in your life for the Word of God to sink in and to grow and to do its work and to produce some fruit in your life? I can't think about roots growing down without thinking of this verse from Ephesians chapter 3 where the Apostle Paul uses this image in his letter. He says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Another translation says you'll be rooted and established in God's love. So that when the difficult times come, no, I've got roots growing down into God's love. I have life that is going to keep this faith from fading, from dying, because I'm tapped into the life of God. I've let those roots grow on down deep. I'm letting God's word shape and change me. I hope that will be true of you. I hope it's true of me. I mean, that's something that every single one of us needs. There's not a single one of us that can just kind of skim by on the surface of this Christianity thing and think it's going to have a lasting impact, because life is full of cares and concerns and will crowd it out, or difficulties will come. We need to allow the goodness of God, the love of God, to take root in our hearts and lives. We need to trust him. We need to continue to follow him. So we're going to pray, we're going to celebrate communion together, and then we're going to have a chance to eat together. And it's possible that during that meal, you're going to get to know somebody a little bit better, and who knows, but this might be somebody that ends up becoming a good support and encouragement to you. There are folks here in this church who have made amazing friendships just because they got to know each other. And it won't be everybody. You might end up sitting and eating with someone you think, well, I have nothing in common with that person except we both love Jesus, so okay. But it might be you find somebody, you're like, wow, that's somebody I want to get to know them better. I'm gonna look for them next Sunday. We're gonna exchange numbers. Sometime we're gonna grab lunch. This is somebody that I know I'm gonna turn to when I need help, and they're gonna turn. I'm gonna pray for them. They're gonna pray for me. Those things start somewhere, all right? Maybe today is where that starts for you, as you begin to open up your life to some other people. All right, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Thank you, God, that you invite each and every one of us to taste and see that you really are as good as the Bible says you are, that you really are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love, that as we just read today, you are close to the brokenhearted, that you rescue those whose spirits are crushed. God, today we want to taste and see your goodness. We don't want to just take the preacher's word for it. We want to see it for ourselves. So God, today we are reaching out to you. Thank you, God, that when we reach out to you, we find you, the good God that we read about in Scripture. We find that you really are who the writers of this psalm say that you are. You really are who the Apostle Paul says you are in his letters. You really are who Jesus says that you are. Thank you, God. Thank you that out of love for us, you did not want to see us condemned and die in our sins. You didn't want to see us just continue to muddle through, making a mess of our lives and the lives of the people around us. Out of love for us, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to conquer sin and death by his own death and resurrection. We celebrate that today in communion. We offer you these gifts of bread and juice and pray that by your Spirit's presence here among us, we might meet our risen Savior in his body and in his blood, remembering the great sacrifice he made on our behalf. God, we offer you ourselves. We offer you our lives. We pray that your Spirit will transform us, that your word will sink down deep into our hearts and into our minds, that it won't just skim across the surface, that we won't just hear it with joy and not let it take root. God, today, we want you to transform us by your Holy Spirit, by your word, so that we might live differently here in this world, that we might live as the body of Christ, as your hands and feet, as we get to be the ones handing out samples, as we get to be the ones sowing the seed and sharing the good news of your love with the people around us. Thank you, God. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. I pray that you will help each and every one of us to trust you, to say yes to you, and to either begin or continue to follow Jesus one step at a time. It's in his name that we offer this prayer. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The band's going to lead us in a closing song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of grape juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the juice and eat it, and then return to your seat. This is open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today. Now, no pressure to participate. No one's going to look at you funny if you don't come forward. But if today you desire to taste and see that the Lord is good, if today you are hungry for his grace, if today you are grateful to him for the love shown in Jesus Christ, then you're invited to come and participate. So let's give him thanks and let's celebrate. Thank you, God, that when we come to you just as we are, you are good and gracious and forgiving. Thank you, God, for the fresh start that each one of us gets in Jesus Christ. It's because of him that we have hope. So today, would you fill us with the Spirit of Christ that we might be a people of hope, a people of joy, a people of love, a people of grace. Thank you, God. And thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to sit around tables together, to enjoy some breakfast. God, we thank you for this food. We thank you for those who have prepared it and who are serving us this morning. Pray that you bless them and bless all of us as we eat together. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace to grab some breakfast right over there.